y'all so much for that. That's an old-time favorite of mine. I was sitting there thinking back. Me and Danny singing it. If you turn to Matthew today, Matthew chapter 3, verses 13. You'll stand when you get that book. Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. And it says, "And Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me?' But Jesus answered and said to him, 'Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness.' Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word that we've had this morning. Thank you for the reading of it. I pray that you would bless it. Lord, give us the teaching this morning that you would have. Help me to do that. Help us receive it as the Holy Spirit has for us. And that when we leave this place, it will be indwelled upon us. And that it can't be stolen. We just praise you and love you now in Christ's name. Amen. When the Hebrews had marched in the wilderness for at least a month, maybe longer. For you see, they had taken enough provisions, water, and food to last about that long, they say. The food and the water went running out. And of course, they clamored against Moses. The food God supplied, the water they had enough till later on, but the water went running out. And even Josephus, in his history of it, tells to what a strait they became. That it was to the point that they feared of death, even for the livestock and for themselves. But you know the story, how God told Moses after prayer to strike the rock, and water came gushing out. Why didn't God give the water right away? Why didn't he lead them to a place in the desert where there was just a big oasis with water everywhere? Sometimes he brings us to a place of dependence where we have to really, really get to a point where we depend on him. And his promise is he supplies the water. Now we know through scriptures, when you go on into Hebrews and other, that what does it tell us about the rock? The rock represents the Lord Jesus Christ, and the living water that flows comes gushing forth from that rock that we drink from, and it's the living water of God to us. Well, here we have this right here, which sometimes I think we kind of read over a little bit. But it was Jesus being revealed to the world of who he was going to be. You remember last Sunday we talked about John the Baptist, and he prepared the way and the road being cleared as it would for a dignitary coming in. And the road being kept that way, we compared it to our life as it is supposed to be kept that way in repentance. That's the message that John came preaching, was repentance of sins. And many came out and many repented, many were baptized, which meant they realized their sin and they needed to turn back to God. But you remember the last part there where he said, "I'm preaching to you a repentance of water, the baptism of water. But one is coming that's going to bring the baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire." Remember that in the verses right before this? And now we see that Jesus comes. In that wonderful words, "Then Jesus came." Just stop and dwell there for a minute. Where we would be if that wasn't there? Where would you be and I be in our life if those words were not there? The time years ago when those words came to me, "Then Jesus came into my life." So have that in your mind a little bit as we go through this today. Then Jesus came from Galilee. John's baptism of water and repentance is different from Jesus. All right? Remember? His was a public expression of repentance, but it could not change the heart of the people. They knew they needed to repent. They were baptized, meaning they needed to turn back to God, but that baptism couldn't change your heart, and it couldn't change my heart. Jesus' baptism of a person is taking a repentant heart, and through the working of the Holy Spirit, makes the Holy Spirit transform that person from the inner man. Jesus is the only one, the only way where you and I can be transformed inwardly. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit means. In Ezekiel 36, he says, looking forward to this, really, and later on, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. Okay? That's what the Jewish people need. That's what we need. You know, whenever we meet someone, it always comes up if you've never met them before. Doesn't it always come up, where are you from? You know, where were you born? Where were you raised? Where'd you grow up? You know, some people know where Dubok is, but not everybody knows where Dubok is, and I've met off, you know, I try to explain it to them. So you have to tell them where Dubok is near to somewhere else. But where were you born? Where were you raised? Well, the Bible says Jesus came from Galilee, from a little obscure place, from a little obscure town called Galilee. That's where he was raised. We don't have a whole lot of information after his birth, do we? Until the time that he comes on the scene right here. We know that God was doing a good deal, but he didn't think that we needed to know what was going on in that time period. Now we see Jesus as a grown man coming on the scene right here to John the Baptist. It says, then Jesus came. And he came of his own accord. Not because he needed to be baptized. Now this little group of scriptures right here, many people have taken it and come up with all different kind of theology and doctrines from what we will see in these scriptures right here. I'm not going to even try to get off into those this morning. We're going to take the general teaching of what it's meant to be. But as we go through, you can recognize where people have gotten off applying this and this in different ways to it. Jesus did not come to be baptized because he needed to be baptized. Verse 14, John says, I need to be baptized of you. John's statement, I need, is the same for all of us. I thought about that when I was going through this. When I saw the verse, I need, I had a point in my life where that was there, and I still have it. But the point of salvation was, I need. I need to be baptized of you, Lord Jesus. I had a need in my life. What was that need? When the Holy Spirit let me know and convinced me that I was a sinner and that I was going to hell, that there were consequences for the way I'd acted and the way that I was in my life, and that I needed something to take care of that, and that need was fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard that through preaching my whole life at Pine Grove Baptist Church and other places I've been. I heard that through my parents and my grandparents. I heard it through going to different things and Bible study and vacation Bible study. I heard it through the hymns, Brother W, that were sang many, many times that my grandfather led. I heard it in many ways that the Holy Spirit brought it into my life, and I was convicted of that. But the main thing was, is I had a need, and Jesus fulfills that need. Paul would tell us in Romans 3:21 through 23, but now apart from the law, not of works, the righteousness of God has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction or no other way to be saved, in other words, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, for all who believe, amen, not for just a few, not for just a select group, for all who will accept this message as Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's why he came from Galilee, and the first few words says, then Jesus came. It was the beginning of his ministry on earth. Hallelujah. That should be a shouting point for us Christians. God, in his eternity past, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit decided that there should be a point when it said, then Jesus came. Warren Wiersbe puts it like this. He says, it is also a picture of the future baptism of Jesus on the cross, his baptism here. Matthew 20 tells us, Jesus answered James and John and said, "Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I'm about to be baptized with?" And Luke tells us, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how distressed I am until it is accomplished." Jesus' baptism manifests or reveals himself to us. That's what it is. Jesus starting his ministry. John 1 tells us, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In other words, repentance is a turning from sin, but Jesus is the one that takes it away. John's preaching was needed to come before the Lord Jesus Christ to say there has to be repentance in your heart. There has to be repentance in your life, but we can't do that. The Lord Jesus Christ is the one that takes that sin away because it was laid upon him in the cross. That's what he meant by the baptism of that. In verse 31 of John 1, it says, "I did not know him," he said, "but that he should be revealed to Israel before I came baptizing with water." That's the way he's being revealed. He's being revealed right here in these verses. God is saying, okay, it's time for Jesus to start his ministry. In John 10, it says, "All the things that John spoke about this man, the Lord Jesus, were true, and many believed in him there." So you see, in their hearts there was repentance. John preached repentance, but then they believed through John, through what? Through his testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the testimony was what happened at the baptism, those that saw it there. They understood and realized, and it says many were changed there through John's what? Through John's testimony. Do people hear you speak of Jesus? Or do we just invite them to church, which is good, by the way, but they need a little bit more than, hey, just come be with us on Sunday morning. Come be with us on Sunday morning because I want you to know about Jesus, the only one that can make a difference in your life, the only one that can save you, the only one that can make a difference in this world and bring light into the darkness in this world. Do we tell them about Jesus? Do we speak the true things of God? Do we speak the true things of God through his word, through what is actually in there? They need to know the one who had no sin can forgive their sins. So verse 16 tells us, when he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, right? They were coming to John to confess their sins. The Bible says Jesus came up immediately out of the water. Why is that the case? Because he had no sin to confess. Tradition says that many people that were baptized during that time or even later, when they were baptized, they would come up out of the water and then they would tell what they had confessed. They would tell their sin. Boy, I'm glad we don't do that today when I had to do it. Okay? Aren't you? But it says that's what they did. Jesus came out of the water immediately. He had no sin to confess. That's a false teaching also, that Jesus had to come and repent of something. No, no, he's God. He's sinless. So what in the world was he doing? Jesus demonstrated a righteous identification with you and me, sinners, out of love, and it was well-pleasing to his Father. In other words, Jesus, by being baptized, one of the points is he was identifying himself with you and with me for the work that he was going to do. He had no sin, but he would take the sin upon himself at the cross. So his baptism on one point was an example of him relating to me and to you. Aren't we glad and thrilled that we have a Savior that relates to us, that God is not separated from us? He's not separated. He knows what you go through. He went to the cross joyfully for us. The baptism here shows that as a demonstration. He relates to you. He relates to me. He identifies with publicans and sinners, and that's us. And because he identifies with us and we are his, we have what's in 1 John 2. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." That is there for me. It says when he came up out of the water, the heavens opened And the Spirit descended like a dove. And this identifies officially Jesus to John. He knew officially exactly who he was. Now the point of the dove descending upon Jesus has been another point of contention to many people. Many people. The spiritual manifestation of the Spirit of God alighting on him showed observers that God was revealing himself like a dove. It didn't say that an actual dove lit upon him. But those observers there saw something that was manifested, that they knew something was coming down to Jesus that they could actually see. And John says here, the Bible says it was like a dove. Why do they compare it to that? Genesis 1:2, if you go all the way back to that, it says the Spirit hovered in the same way over the earth. This was in concert with the Word of God, Jesus, who spoke it into existence. It hovered. Okay, doesn't say like a dove, but the contention is it's like that. Going back to the Creator, He that created. In Genesis 8, it says the dove that Noah sent out brought back the olive leaf seen as a peace offering. Remember the first thing he sent out was a raven? What did ravens do? They ate meat. Okay? There was plenty out there for that raven because it was carcasses floating. God's judgment upon the earth. The raven didn't come back, but the dove came back. The last time it came back, it had an olive leaf, which is a peace offering, and it stayed, and it stayed. It went out the last time and didn't come back, remember? So like the dove, the Jewish people, the Hebrews kind of related to that, and we're supposed to also, as it come down and lights upon Jesus, the peace offering to us, the Creator of the world. Also, it shows in that when the heavens open, what were together, the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all together. Okay, God identifying His Son to us that would come into the world, the start of His ministry. 2 Corinthians tells us 5:17, if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. And Galatians 6 tells us what matters is that you are a new creation in Christ Jesus, which is what is related with the dove in some aspect. Verse 17 says, and suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Now, this was for the people that were there that could hear that. God's initiating Jesus into the public phase of his ministry on earth. It's starting right here. And the people have been waiting a long time. They've been looking for the Messiah for a long time. Did they realize he wasn't this at that point? Probably many of them did not. Some, you know, John did. But he's starting his ministry. It's the same thing today to us. God's speaking through his Son. At that point, he spoke to his Son. Now, Hebrews tells us in the last days, he speaks to us through his Son. Matter of fact, in Hebrews 1, it says, God has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the world. Now, that's exciting for us. Because the Bible says that we are heirs in Christ Jesus. So if Jesus is the heir, and he is God, he is the Creator, but he's also called the heir here, we are heirs with it all through Christ Jesus. Everything belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ. So accordingly, everything belongs to you and to me under him. We hadn't made it to that point yet, but one day we will. When we're in heaven with him, when we're in the millennium. But even today, we are heirs in Christ Jesus, not only of our salvation, but in everything he has created. He wants to bestow that upon us. He wants us to enjoy that and have it in him. So God speaks to us through Jesus and the written word that we are supposed to take out as John the Baptist did. So when's the last time you let him speak to you through Bible study? I certainly hope that the only time you don't hear the Word of God is when I read it up here. I certainly hope that's not the case. He speaks to you through the written Word that we have and the guidance of the Holy Spirit. So when's the last time that happened? An in-depth Bible study with you. Just you by yourself in the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit reveals something to you that you need in your life at that time. Do you take the time with the Lord in that? All things belong to Jesus, like I said, and we've been made heirs through Him. So you're not a stranger. You're one of His children. The one who made the worlds can surely hold you. Won't you allow Him to do it? The one who made all the world is identified here. He's fixing to start His ministry, which we're going to get into and study on through the rest of Matthew. And this was the time that the Lord showed it to him. The dove descending upon the Lord Jesus Christ as the Holy Spirit. All three, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus coming into the world for one thing and one thing only, to shed His blood for our sins. And the whole picture here that we've seen so far, there has to be repentance in the heart for there to be salvation. Jesus offers that. And repentance is a complete turning, as we've talked about, from what you've done through the salvation of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a message we have to give to the world in these days. In these days of darkness and of no hope. I saw a caption, I think in Iowa they had one of the primaries or something. And one of the captions on something was, people and voters, no hope. You know, nothing to look forward to. Well, that's certainly not the case with Christ Jesus. And that certainly should not be the case of His children, us, that are heirs in everything that He has and everything that He owns. Won't you be one that does that? Let Him be your Savior. Give your life to Him, serving the way that He wants us to serve. And be happy that the words, "Then Jesus came," applies to you and to your life.